Good morning. How's everybody doing? All right, if you're here this morning in this service, I'm guessing you probably didn't see 12 o'clock last night. Odds are, just a guess. But I want y'all just to bear with me for a second, because I got to say thank you to this guy sitting on the front row. I just want to thank you for everything you've done for me. Y'all are lucky to have him as a pastor. I've never seen a godly man like him. And he just humble as can be. He's probably going to get on to me because I said all this. Yeah. But truly a man of God and wants to see other people come up and take the lead too, which is why I'm standing here today. And I want to say thanks because you said that I was a young man in here. I like that. Because there are times when I don't feel like I'm a young man. But thank you for that. Let's start out in prayer and then let's get started. Okay. Lord, thank you just that we've got another year here. And you are still in control, Lord. And that you will always be in control. And Lord, right now I just ask that you just speak here today. And the three messages that are going to be, Lord, I just ask that you speak. Move each of us out of the way and just let your words resonate with each of us. Help just to move all distractions out of the way so that we just concentrate on you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, now let me ask a question, and before I do, don't raise hands because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But how many of you have New Year's resolutions for this year? Or maybe you had New Year's resolutions from last year or the year before. If you're like me, I used to do them and they sounded good until I actually started doing it. And then therein lied the problem. I never could fulfill the resolution that I wanted to do. I saw on the news this week, it was talking about the YMCA. I think it's going to be over that way, maybe, I'm not sure. But they were moving all the exercise equipment in. They're getting ready for the big push in January. Because in January, everybody wants to start going to the gym and getting in shape. And they were doing it in December, and you looked around, there wasn't a single person in the gym, and they said, December is our slowest month. So here it is, everybody starts out real good in the beginning, and by the end, everybody's slacked off and hardly anybody's there. Now, isn't that true of resolutions? We get so geared up and we're so ready to do it, but then by the end, we're just tailing off in the end. I read an article, and it said that 25% of the resolutions that are made this year will be broken by next Sunday. Next Sunday. That means by the time y'all come back in here next Sunday, that 25% of the resolutions have already been broken, thrown away, and done away with. And then it went on to say that 88% of the resolutions that were made today and started today would be thrown away and done away with by the end of the year. 88%. That's only a 12% passing rate there. So what's going on there? Why is it that resolutions don't work? Well, I think if you think of a resolution and you sit there for a second and you say, what do I need to change in my life right now? Is there something that I know that I need to change? And if you think about it and you start saying, okay, what is it that I need to change? You just hit why resolutions don't work. Because here it is. I need to change something in my life. But we can't change things in our life. We can only do it through God. We can't do it on our own. So when we start looking at resolutions and we start saying, you know, I really need to do this, guess what? I can't do it. Only through God can we do it. And that's what the deal is with the resolutions. So if you've got your Bible, turn to Galatians, and we're going to be looking at chapter 5, verse 22 through 25. Now let me go ahead and read the first two verses, and let's start there. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Now, those are some good qualities, right? Do each of us wish we had these qualities in our life? And here's the thing. I think when we start looking at resolutions, we're dealing with the surface area because we know there's something that needs to be changed, and we think a certain action will change that. But when you start looking at resolutions and you start really getting down to the core of this list, you start dealing with what the core issues are. This is like the bottom. This is where you actually need to start changing. Your actions that you want to do, like you want to start going to the gym, there's probably a core issue down below, and it's probably on this list right here. So look at this list again. Who wouldn't want to have more love or joy, peace or patience, kindness? But if we go back to the beginning, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit." So it's saying the Spirit is the way that you're going to be able to do this. You can't do it on your own. Remember I said the I in it? The I doesn't get it. And that's why resolutions fail so much. Because can we truly like produce any of these in our own will? You might can do it for a little while. You might get away with it. You might put on a good front. But eventually it's going to wear you down because you weren't made to do this in your own spirit. You can't do it in your own spirit. I mean, let's take it, the very first one here. The very first one says love. And that love is agape love. That sacrificial love. Now, can you produce that in your own? Because remember what Jesus said. Jesus, when the scribe came to Jesus, he said, "What's the greatest commandment?" And he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." And then he threw in the next one. He said, "And also love your neighbor as yourself." And then he went on to say, "Well, who's your neighbor?" And he said, "Your neighbor is anybody." And then on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Love your enemies." Now think about that for a minute. We're supposed to love our enemies. And we can see that the love here is from the Spirit. So we should have this quality. So that person that you work with, that you can't stand because they go behind your back and they talk about you all the time, or maybe it's that family member so that when you're going to the family reunion, you'd rather not go. And when you see them, you kind of duck and you're going the other way because you don't really want to talk to them. Guess what? You're supposed to love that person. So how do you show love to that person? To me, sacrificial agape love for that person, when there's hostility there, is that you're praying for that person. Because if you're praying for somebody, it's really hard to be mad at somebody. Because that just breaks down the barriers. And you know what? Even if you tell them that you're praying for them, go out on a bold step and tell them that. Can you imagine someone being mad at you and you're like, "Okay, but I'm praying for you." That breaks down barriers. That is the sacrificial love. And you can't produce that on your own. There's no way you can. And let's look at it another way. If you can't produce salvation on your own, and we can't produce salvation on our own, because we're all sinful creatures, and we needed a Savior to come here to this earth to live a perfect life, fully human and fully God, to die on a cross for us, and to be raised from the dead 3 days later. And the only way that we can make it to heaven is we put our faith in Him. Period. If we can't produce salvation on our own, why do we think that we can do these things on this list, that we really can have love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Why do we think we can produce these things on our own? We can't do it. And actually, if you look at it, Jesus actually lets us know this. Because back in John 15, he tells us what? He tells us one thing. He says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit." But then he goes on, he says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." So if you don't abide in Christ, you can't do anything. Now, if you've been struggling through the Christian life, and you keep coming in here on Sundays, and you hear how you should be living, and then you go out on Monday, and the world hits you in the face, and you're like, what's going on? Why is it so hard? I'm just giving you reassurance right now why you're struggling so much. It's because you're trying to do it on your own, and you can't do it on your own. It's not about following a bunch of rules. It's about having a relationship with your Savior. And that's what we're going to deal with today. And we go on to see in here that Jesus told his disciples when he's getting ready to ascend into heaven. Now remember, these disciples, they had been with him 3 years. They had seen him teach everybody. They had seen him heal people. They had seen him restore the blind. They had seen him make a man walk. They saw him raise a child from the dead. Then they saw him bring Lazarus back to life. They saw all this stuff. They were sitting there when he was teaching on the Sermon on the Mount for 3 years. Think about it. If you spent 3 years with somebody, would you be able to do what they had been telling you to do? I know if you, in your job, if you spend 3 years with somebody and you don't know how to do what you're supposed to be doing, you won't be in the job much longer. These guys had been with him for 3 years. They had seen everything he had done. And what does he tell them when he's getting ready to ascend into heaven? He doesn't tell them, "Go on out. Get out right now. Get the message going." He tells them to wait. He says, "Wait for the Holy Spirit to come on you." He knew that was the only way they would be able to do what he wanted them to do. Period. Now, if these guys who had been with him for 3 years and had seen everything he did, heard it, if they can't do it, what makes you and what makes me think we can do it in our own power? There's no way. There's no way we can do that on our own. Absolutely. So, how do we do this? How do you start living the Spirit-filled life? How do you get these qualities right here that we've read about? Well, let's go to verse 24 and 25. And let's start seeing how we're going to do this. And starting in verse 24, it says, "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." And that flesh is your sinful nature that lives inside each and every one of us. And it says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." So how do we do it? We got to walk by the Spirit. Okay. Everybody go out right now and walk by the Spirit. It's kind of hard for me to say that and then you go do it, right? Let's start looking at how we're going to start walking by the Spirit. Because when you start resolutions, like if you're going to the gym, you're like, "New Year's, this is it. I'm going to start getting back in shape." You're going to have a plan. You're already going to have a gym membership, I hope. You're already going to have somebody that's going to be there with you every morning or every afternoon whenever you're going to the gym. You got somebody there with you. And you've already got a workout plan. So you've got a plan in place to get you to the desired point that you want to go. Well, the same here. Let's get a plan together for this resolution for this year and see how we need to live by the Spirit. How do we walk by the Spirit like it says? So the first thing that we've got to do is that we've got to understand every area of your life is spiritual. Every part of your life is spiritual. There's no way around it. Because so many of us, I think, we come in here on Sunday, we sit down, we hear the message, and then Monday when we get to work, or Monday when we're dealing with the kids, or Monday when you're going to school, guess what? Everything you heard then doesn't apply to what you're doing that Monday. And it's like there's two separate lives here going on. You got a spiritual life and you've got the work life or the school life. It's completely different. But look, here the thing is every part of your life is connected spiritually. Everything. Because everything you do should be for the glory of God. When you're at work and you're trying to please your boss, you're not doing it to please your boss. You're doing it for the glory of God. Because he's probably going to know where you go to church. He's going to know that you're a Christian. And if he's not, he's watching you. Or she's watching you. And they want to see what it is that's different about you. And they're going to say, well, they act the same as us. So what's the point? And Jesus tells us this. In Luke chapter 9, he tells them to lay down their life and pick up, or hold on, let me read this one out. I was going to do it. He says to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. He doesn't say, pick up your cross on Sundays, come to church, check you off that you went to church, you did your spiritual for the week, now you can head on your own way. And Monday through Saturday, you're in your own. He says, daily, pick up your cross. He's saying, this is all spiritual. It's all for the glory of God. Every part of your life. There's no part that's left out. Your relationship with your wife or your husband. Your relationship with your children. Your relationship at work, at school. Everything is for the glory of God. Period. So there's no difference there. All right. So that's the ground right there. Is everything is spiritual. So now, how do we start tapping into the Holy Spirit? How do we start listening for Him so that we can start having these qualities that He talks about here? Well, the first thing is every morning, some of you might need to do it like me before you even get your feet hit the floor, is you're asking the Lord to guide you that day. Lord, you already know what I'm going to face today. You already know who's going to come up to me and ask for certain things. You already know that somebody's going to cut me off in traffic on my way to work. You already know everything. What I need you to do is I need you to help me in every situation. I will submit to you in every situation. These are your burdens, they're not mine. Because you told me that you would take care of me. You have made that promise that you'll take care of me. So now these are your burdens and these aren't mine. So that's the first thing. But now here's the thing. You can't pray that with some preconceived agenda. Because aren't we all like that? We'll say a prayer and we're like, okay, Lord, here's my plan. My plan is this, this, and this. Bless my plan. And I'm going to go on my way, okay? This is what I want you to do. Let me give you an example of that. When we were in seminary, we moved out there. And as soon as we moved out there, the economy tanked. So that you couldn't find a job anywhere. The seminary was actually laying off people. That's unheard of. You never hear of a seminary laying off people. But they were. You couldn't find a job anywhere. My daughter got sick. And the doctor bill wasn't in the budget. We just knew that that wasn't going to be in the budget at that time. So I start praying to God, look, Lord, I need a job because I need to pay for this doctor bill. And my preconceived agenda was, Lord, I need you right now to get me a job, period, because I've got this to pay. And here I am in my closed-minded, I'm blinders on, job, job, job. That's all I'm thinking, job. And here, Lord is way over here. He's saying, no, that's not what's going to happen. So one of my dad's friends, calls my dad up. And he says, can you give me Sean's address? My dad's like, well, what do you need his address for? He said, well, I need to send him something. Lord has placed on my heart that I just need to send him something. So we did. So I get the check in the mail. I open it up, and it was a dollar more than the doctor's bill. And I'm like, whoa. Here I am thinking job. And Lord said, yeah, I'm going to get you a job eventually, but not on your time, on my time, because I want you to first to rely on me. I want you to get rid of everything else. If you're asking me to be with you and to guide you through all this, then you got to put away your agenda and you got to start following mine. And the job came eventually, and it lasted all the way through. But at that point, he said, look, you've got to follow me. You've got to rely on me. You've got to let me guide you. You just tell me what your needs are. You don't tell me how to do it. I'll take care of that part. And that's it. So the first thing is we've got to ask for guidance each day. And with that, we've got to throw away our own plans. And we've got to start relying on His plans. So the second thing is we've got to start looking for God's peace or God's lack of peace in situations. Now, have you ever been doing something or you've got a decision to make and you either felt really, really comfortable with it or there was just something inside of you saying, I'm not too sure about that. That I just don't have an easy feeling about that. And you wonder what's going on? The Holy Spirit saying either, yes, this is it, this is what I want you to do, or you might want to hold off on that and think about that one for a little bit before you jump into that. And back, it was a few years ago, it was before seminary, it was for that, I kind of realized that accounting was not going to be my field that I retire in. And I was helping a friend, and he was putting in some shrubs, so we had a one-man auger. And I hit a root with it. When I did, my back started killing me. It was a herniated disc is what I had. So I had to go to therapy and stay in therapy for like 3 months. And during that therapy, I realized, man, Lord, is this what you're letting this happen so that I'll see that I need to be a physical therapist? Because I love going to the gym. I do. And physical therapy and gym meet together. And I love taking care of people and heal, or, you know, I want to help people out. So if I can take gym and I can take helping people and put them together, Lord, this is great. I like this plan. But guess what? The only way you could become a physical therapist is if you, at that time, I don't know about now, but you had to move to Charleston. So I would have to move 3 hours away. At that point, I had a wife and a child. So I'd have to uproot the family, 3 hours down to Charleston, live on the coast, and go for like 3 or 4 years to become a physical therapist. I prayed about it, and I didn't have a good feeling. There was something inside of me saying, this isn't it. And I knew if I went down there that I wasn't going to be able to do this. I'd fall flat on my face. But now, fast forward a few years, and I finally realized, it's not physical therapy, it's not accounting. The Lord wants me to go into ministry. So when I realized that's what it was, and I realized that Texas was where I was supposed to go for seminary, there was no doubt in my mind, there was no hesitation that I was going to sell the house. By this time, I have a wife and 2 children, and I'm going to pull them up, and we're going 16 hours away to Texas. And I had this perfect peace about it. So when you start feeling a peace about something, or you start feeling a burden about it, that this just doesn't feel right, you've got to realize that's probably the Spirit saying, yes, this is it, or no, back off, this isn't it. All right, so what's the next thing? The Word of God. The Word of God. Our insight into how God thinks about different issues is the Word of God. I'll go ahead and say this. I don't think without spending time in God's Word that you can live a successful, Spirit-filled Christian life. I flat out don't think you can. No way around it. You've got to have God's Word to have it to live this life. Because this is His instructions for us. This is His nature for us. We think back in the beginning of when, in John chapter 1, Jesus came to earth. And it says in there, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory of the only begotten one from the Father. But then John adds something else on there. He says He was full of grace because we didn't deserve what He was about to offer. But He was also full of truth. He came here to teach us about how God is on certain issues, how He feels about certain issues. So we get the grace, but we also get the truth. And our world today wants to tell us what truth is. You turn on the news, you turn on any show, and they're going to tell you what they think the truth is. But if you're not spending time in God's Word, you're not going to know what God's truth is. But here's the other thing. When you start looking or reading God's Word, you know what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit is going to start using God's Word in certain areas. I can't tell you how many times when something's going on, and if we're going to say like somebody, like I'm driving to work, and somebody cuts me off, and I'm getting ready to hit the horn as hard as I can because they just ticked me off. And something inside of me says, James chapter 1, 19-20. Slow to anger. And I'm like, oh, come on now. It starts convicting me right then. And have y'all ever been like that? Where something's going on and all of a sudden you're getting ready to do something and a verse comes into your mind and it either tells you, yeah, go ahead and do it. Or it says, wait a minute, that's probably not the best thing you can do right now. Because if you do that, it's going to lead to even worse things. If you've got God's Word inside you, then He's going to be able to use it to help lead you through any kind of situation. And that's when we're getting to in verse 25. It says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. When we've got the Word of God inside of us, then we're going to be able to walk by the Spirit. But if you don't have the Word of God in you, then you're walking on your own, and it's a whole lot harder to do that. Paul tells us this in Colossians chapter 3. He said, let the Word of Christ richly dwell within us. He's telling us that we've got to have it down deep inside of us. Okay, so then we've got to spend time in God's Word. We can't come in on Sunday, listen to the sermon, and then put our Bibles away for a week. And I know that it's real easy to do that, because I've done that before too. It's really easy, because you'll get into the work mode, you'll get into the family mode, and God's Word is sitting way over here, and you're like, I'm going to get to that eventually. And before you look up, Sunday's here, and you come back in, you pick up your Bible, you kind of dust it off a little bit, make sure nobody knows that you haven't picked it up. Maybe you'll take out, you know, the bulletin from last week, because you don't want anybody to know. And you come sit down, and everyone thinks, well, that is a good Christian there. They're doing everything they should be doing. And you are just like the rest of them, too. In our society, We've got so many avenues for the Bible nowadays. We've got so many ways to find time to do this. I mean, you've got smartphones where you can download the Bible and have it on your phone at any time where you can look something up. You've got the Kindles, you've got the Nooks, you've got everything that you need. So saying, I don't have time to do it, you can do it anywhere at any time. The thing is, just do it. Make a plan. There are tons. You can go out on Google and Google Bible reading plans. You can do it in 90 days. You can read through the whole Bible in 90 days. You can do it in a year. You can do it in 3 years. Just do it. It doesn't matter how. It doesn't matter how long it takes you. Just pick up God's Word and read it. And God's truths will start speaking to you. And when you hit those difficult times, He's going to pull it up and He's going to say, here, this is what I'm talking about. And then you're going to start seeing some of that love and joy and peace and patience, the kindness and goodness. And I like the last one he leaves on here, self-control. It's like he wanted us to linger on that one because that's the one that all of us, it seems like, has a hard time with, is self-control. But if we don't have God's Word in you, He's not going to be able to use this stuff for you. And to live the Spirit-filled life, you've got to have it in you. There's no way around it. And I said before, He's going to convict you with His Word. He's going to use His Word as an application and say, look, here it is. This is what you need to focus on. This is what you don't need to focus on. So what have we got again? For a New Year's resolution this year, starting out this year, what should you do? You got to start giving over to the Holy Spirit. Right off the bat, from the very beginning, you've got to say, Lord, today's yours. But now let me tell you this, and then the next thing I always say is, Lord, this is your burden, it's not mine. How many of you are carrying around burdens today? And you think you're going through everything on your own. Do you see how liberating this is right here? That you don't have to worry about it on your own anymore? Man, it's just like, whoa, I don't have to worry about this or that anymore. So right off the bat, you say, Lord, today is yours. These are your burdens, they're not mine. You're going to give me the strength to live them. You're going to give me the strength to make it through. That's number one. Number two is you're going to start looking for God's peace or God's lack of peace. And when you see His peace, start moving forward. When you don't, stop. Because it'll get a whole lot worse if you keep going down that road. I don't even want to think about how it would have been if I went to Charleston, uprooted my family, and then let my wife see me fall flat on my face and not be able to do what it was I thought I should be doing. So there are times when you go and there's times when you stop. You look for God's peace. The next thing is God's Word. You've got to spend time in God's Word. If it's 5 minutes a day, start 5 minutes. Start small, work your way up. I guarantee you, when you start reading for 5 minutes, you're going to start going through it and you're going to say, wait a minute, 5 minutes are up. I hadn't finished yet. I've got to keep going. And you're going to start wanting to read more and more. But don't come to it reading it like it's, I got to check it off a list. Come to it like, what is God going to tell me today? What is He going to teach me today? And I'll tell you one that I use, has helped me out a lot, is I will pick a passage and I'll read it for a month. Because if you read it once and then you go on to the next one, it's like, okay, a month later you forgot it. But for me, when I read it and I do it for a month, I know that scripture then. There's no doubt about it. And I know what God's saying in that scripture. But you pick whatever works for you. Just read. Just do it. And then listen for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. When He starts throwing up these verses in your mind and starts telling you yay or nay, start listening. All right, so how many of you are struggling right now? with trying to produce these things on your own. Your New Year's resolution is to start living the Spirit-filled life. To really and truly start living it. And don't pretend it anymore. And just do it. And if you're here today and you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what better way to start the new year than to give Him your life? Say, here it is. I can't do it anymore on my own. I'm tired of playing, and I'm ready to come to you because I'm burned out. There's no better way to do that. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you just that you have given us your word, Lord. You've also given us the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. You've given him as a gift to us to guide us through this Christian life, Lord. Lord, I just ask that you will let each of us follow your guidance and follow you this year. Lord, it's so hard to live life. And for you just to guide us makes it a whole lot easier, Lord. And you're willing and waiting and standing right there for us. Help each of us to know you're there and just how we need to do it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.